evening, Patriots. And this is Bards FM. And tonight we're going to hear from Dr. Sherry Tenpenny. I'll tell you, this is a very important time to be listening to the frontline doctors. There's a lot going on and there's a lot of very disturbing developments. And I will tell you tonight, you're not going to hear answers or cures. You're going to be really have to hear some of the challenges that they're facing as they unwind what this real motive is and what's really going on in these genocidal injections that are being given to people. Now, as I know you'll be shocked when I'll tell you this, this took quite a bit more time to do this edit today because, as it turned out, as we were interviewing today, intervals throughout the interview just blanked out as she was talking. And fortunately, I was able to piece it together, and we didn't lose anything, but it was some very weird audio effects going on today, which I was like, oh, sounds like somebody doesn't want to have her tell the truth. I'm shocked. But she is a truth fighter, and she's one heck of a truth fighter, and she's got God on her side, which makes her a lethal weapon to evil. So before we begin tonight, let's do a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we come together each day to hear the wisdoms that are presented to us from the many voices of truth tellers and to awaken the wisdom that you've placed within our hearts. Lord, in this time, more than ever, it is so important that we see clearly, that we stand up to this evil with intention, with conviction, and we do not waver and we do not bow. And most importantly, Lord, that we stand firmly on that rock of faith, putting all of our trust in you. And so we are humbled before you and humbled for all you give and humbled to be in this time, in this biblical time in which we live. And we say these things in Christ's holy name. Amen. All right, Patriots, so this is an important interview. The interview is about 48 minutes, and I think you're going to enjoy this conversation I had today with Dr. Sherry Tenpenny. Dr. Tenpenny, it's always a privilege to have you on the show, and there has been a lot that has transpired and a lot that has developed since the last time we spoke. Let's kind of start there. I mean, where we were the last time, we were still kind of looking at the components of this injection, which we've all kind of agreed it's not a vaccination. And moving from that, I know that once you've kind of broken down the components of what's really going on, there is a lot of eye-opening discoveries that your team has made over the last few weeks.
It is. And I think that what we are finally getting our hands around is what I put together in this ebook that I've designed, and I'm going to blow it up into like a full book, because right now it's at 24 pages and I'm going to expand all the sections, is the 21 mechanisms of injury of how these shots can literally cause severe autoimmune disease, severe neurological problems, including ALS, frontal temporal lobe dementia, early onset dementia, and brain loss, literal brain loss, like a prion disease where they develop spongiform encephalopathy, which means you end up with literal holes eaten through your brain. All the blood clotting issues that are happening, not just with the AstraZeneca shot that they pulled off the market, but with all four of the primarily approved shots are causing massive blood clot issues, including what's called central venous thrombosis, which if you took your finger from your forehead and ran it right across the top of your head down the center of your head, there's a very large vein that runs there that helps to, as your carotid arteries pump the blood into your skull, which is a confined, it's like a closed bucket, it's a confined space. As that pressure goes up with the artery and takes the blood into that confined space, you can't drain it out because these very large veins that go across the top of your head and behind your eyes, which is called the transverse venous sinus, are clotted off. It's an acute neurosurgical emergency. I've spoken to it about it with, I'm going to say, at least seven or eight friends of mine, Scott, that between the, let's say, seven of us, we've got a combined 250 years of medical experience. We've never seen a case of it. we know that it probably exists. It's sort of like something called a pheochromocytoma, which is a tumor on your adrenal gland. It exists. You always have to read about it, know about it for board exams. And it really does exist once in a while, but it's like rare as hen's teeth. So this has always been a pretty rare phenomenon. And there were certain reasons that people got it. And now, since December of this year, in the United States alone, there have been 247 cases reported to VAERS, which is just, it should be ringing bells across every physician's brain in America if they bother to look for the information. So we know about the blood clotting issues. We know what the spike protein is doing, which I think is the most dastardly thing of all of these shots. We know about what the anti-spike antibodies are capable of doing. We are now seeing all of these bleeding disorders that are happening in people that are not even getting the shot, but they are working with people or living with people who have gotten the shot. And we did, as you know, there was a group of five of us that did a conference call about a week ago. It was me, Dr. Larry Pilevsky, Dr. Christian Northrup, Dr. Carrie Madej, and Dr. Lee Merritt. And we had a moderator there from MAM.org, which was Maureen McDonald, and Tiffany, who's our publicist from MAM, which is MAMM.org, which stands for Millions Against Medical Mandates. It's a really good nonprofit group that is doing great work to get the information out. And we did this webinar, and we all collectively agreed that something was changing. You know, we thought for the last 4 months that if you just refused the shot and you didn't get it, then everything would be pretty okay. You'd still have to, you know, do some preventive things like maybe ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine or take zinc and D and those things, but you could be okay. But now there's something happening. And way back at the beginning, Scott, people would ask me, so when do you start thinking that some of these horrific things are going to show up? I said, it's going to be about 4 to 5 months into this because it's going to take your body that long to make the spike protein and for your immune system to try to neutralize these 50 billion particles that have been injected into your body twice if you're taking the Pfizer and the Moderna shots to go into your body to make these spike proteins, 50 billion with a B, twice. That is this onslaught of foreign proteins that get into your bloodstream and your body goes, whoa, what is this? It's going to take about 4 months to try to neutralize it. Well, now that we're at that point, now we're starting to see a whole new level of problems and complications that are actually even showing up to people that have not received the shot. And we made a pretty big deal about, you know, people are saying, what about shedding, shedding, shedding? Well, shedding implies getting a whole virus vaccine like chickenpox or rubella or the shingles shot, a whole virus that literally can shed because it can be transmitted. But when it sheds, it causes the same infection. So if the chickenpox shot sheds, somebody's going to contract chickenpox. With these COVID shots, it's first of all, it's not a whole virus, so it's not shedding. And even if it was something that was shedding, you're not getting a cold or a flu symptom. You're getting bleeding and blood clots and bruising and neurological complications. So something is being transmitted, and it's being able to be transmitted to somebody in your that you don't even have close personal contact with. It's not even somebody that you may be living in the same household and sleeping with or having a physical relationship with. Something is transmitting, which is becoming even more concerning about this whole massive genocidal campaign with injecting everyone with these shots.
So as we talk about that, there was an article which you and I have discussed offline that surfaced, and it was titled Confessions of an Engineered Nanoparticle, which outlines an entire concept of the reactions of a nanoparticle if it was within your system. Now, I've had this looked at by a couple of other people in addition to our discussions, and what the general consensus is that that article was written by a whistleblower, even though the article is written as a somewhat narrative fiction in the way it's approach. And yet a lot of the things you're talking about exist in that article. What is your thoughts on this?
Well, I think that's really true. And, you know, sometimes the best way to get information out is through kind of a narrative story written by under a pseudonym by a whistleblower. And just as another way of example, there was an article that came out, oh gosh, this must have been about 2007, by someone who claimed the name of Benjamin McReardon. And I think that article is still floating around the internet somewhere, who was obviously an industry insider that was talking about all the vaccines that were currently approved. And there's 17 childhood vaccines and about 8 more adult vaccines that are currently approved. And they were an insider showing all of the viral contaminants that were inside of all of these shots and how this was getting into the human genome. It was highly referenced and highly characterized. And we never really did find out who this Benjamin McReardon person was. But the way that it was written was a massive exposure to the vaccine industry. I think this article that I sent you the other day that is written at, like a fictional character, like, hey, I'm a nanoparticle and let me tell you what I can do, is massively exposing. I think it's explosive. I think that as I started reading it the first time, and as you know, it's fairly long. And I was reading it, I'm going, yep. These are all the things that we're seeing in this transmissible thing, all the things that this is being designed to do and to cause problems once it gets inside your cells and in your DNA and in your brain. And oh, by the way, once it's in there, we don't know how to get it out, is what this article was saying. And right now, I do believe that that's still the case. I know that there's a lot of people that are working on various things, whether they are energy tools like the Rife technology or similar types of technologies, whether it's detoxification things, looking at other medications, what really happens if you go super high dose on your zinc and copper ratios. There's a lot of people looking at this, but Scott, it goes back to what we talked about a long time ago. This is an absolutely well-designed killing machine. They've had decades to look at all the medical literature. I mean, if I can spend 5 months maybe going through the medical literature and pulling out 20 mechanisms of injury, and oh, by the way, I found a couple of more once I decided to draw the line in the sand. And you know, at some point you got to stop and go to publication. And so I drew the line at 20 because that's still a lot. And I found a couple of more mechanisms of injury. There's probably another dozen, who knows how many more. And if I can, you know, a single physician sitting at her computer in Cleveland, Ohio, going through all this information and pulling it out, how much more is literally out there? And some of the immunology journals, you almost feel like it's written in code because they're complicated and difficult to read. How much more is out there, and how long have they had to have the brightest minds and the best labs to be working on designing the exact tool that will get into people's bodies and be a genocidal, DNA manipulating, infertility causing, dementia causing machine? And that's really what it is. That's why when we call it a genetic modification tool, it is.
This always brings up a lot of fear for people. And in fact, the conversations you and I had on that specific article was that it's such an overwhelming article that it can almost make you feel as though there is absolutely no hope. That nanotech is obviously being embedded into our culture and our world in a way that is beyond even the vaccinations. And there's so many layers to this system, as it implies, which I can validate from some of my own background research. I know you can validate. It's this tie-in with 5G. It's this tie-in with the many layers of the vaccination process and the Internet of Things and the Internet of Nanotechnology. It's an entire ecosystem that they're force-feeding onto the world without our choice. And so there tends to be an overwhelming position that you can assume that makes you feel like there's no hope. Yet I know that what you all are working on, there is, you're driven by that hope. You're driven by that target to find a cure. Can you get into a little bit of that?
Well, like I said, we're trying to identify what we can do about this. The problem that I'm personally feeling right now, and I know that many of my colleagues are feeling, is that with this change to this transmission, that something's transmittable. And we decided to do that conference call the other night, just spur of the moment. And for people that didn't get a chance to listen to it, if you go to drtenpenny.com and you just hover over the podcast area at the top and go out to, I have my podcast is on Podbean also, and put in the search special edition, you'll be able to find it. It's up there in the podcast and you can listen to it, because we decided to do that spur of the moment. I mean, literally it was on a Wednesday afternoon. We said, yeah, let's do it. And on Thursday night, we did it and pulled it all together. And it was in a mass, as you know, it was a massive amount of work to put that together behind the scenes. And the problem, and we did it based on these thousands and thousands and thousands of internet cases and personal cases and things that we were hearing of people, of women who were having these bleeding disorders, that suddenly, you know, postmenopausal women were starting to bleed, or women that were in their 40s that had had extremely regular periods and cycles their entire life. Now suddenly they started bleeding and bled for 3 or 4 months, or they stopped bleeding and didn't bleed for 3 or 4 months, or they were having these clots that were so massive in their uterus. And when they would slough out the clot, it would be so painful. It would almost be like labor pains. And they called it a deciduous cast, which means the blood clot was so firm, it actually kind of tore away some of the intrauterine lining. And, you know, Dr. Christian Northrup is an OB-GYN by training, and she was just very disturbed by this. And, you know, I'm an ER doc by training, and Dr. Lee Merritt is an orthopedic surgeon, and Dr. Carrie Madej is an internist, and Dr. Larry Pilevsky is a pediatrician. And so we were very concerned about all of these cases, and the vast majority of them were people that had not had the injection. So having saying that as a backdrop, I mean, working on trying to find a solution, first, we have to take a step backwards and identify the cause. I mean, what is being transmitted from person to person that we can block it? I personally feel it's the spike protein, and I'm working with somebody on some enzyme products. We're talking about some other types of blocking things that are going on. I mean, there's a lot of things in the works. The biggest challenge is we're yet to figure out what is being transmitted. How long does this transmission process go on? We know from the Pfizer patent that it says that one of the studies, not the patent, but in their studies, when people were enrolled in their early studies, that men were advised to not have unprotected sex for up to 6 weeks, and women were advised to not get pregnant for the first 2 months after each people in these men or women in these studies had been in these had received these injections. We know that the spike protein can attach to sperm and cause immobility. We know the spike protein can attach to mitochondria, which is the highest concentration in your heart, which can lead to all these cardiomyopathies and arrhythmias and congestive heart failure things that we're seeing, and heart attacks that we're seeing in people that get the shot that are having cardiac problems. So we're scrambling, Scott. I mean, it's almost like we're, you know, this thing is like a train that's running in front of us, and we're running down the track behind it to try to catch up with it, to see what is actually being transmitted. And once we know what that is and the other ramifications that's going on in the body, that's when I think that we can have some serious solutions.
This is a race against time. And we know that because of the pressure that they're putting on it to get it accepted at all the levels. And we see this insanity that they're dealing with right now and trying to encourage people, everything from free beer from Budweiser to free donuts at Krispy Kreme, to literally modify your DNA. So the corporate complicity in this is unprecedented. And to see the push to get this embedded into the culture at an incredible rate. When we look at the numbers, it is interesting to note that there is a large percentage of those that we would classify as the liberal class accepting this, and a much lesser numbers, in fact, a large percentage of those that are of the Christian base that are not accepting it. So it almost seems as though part of the panic is that they're not able to get this saturation of this number that they want, a 70-80%, which is really like total domination number, into this and the acceptance of the vaccine to be able to really seize the upper ground, if you will, of control of humanity.
I agree that that's really true. It really is a scramble against time. And it's like the machine is just marching on. I mean, I've been following a little bit more closely in the last few days all this travesty that's happening in India. They started with the shots about 6 weeks ago. There's two shots that I've been able to identify so far. One is from the Gates Foundation, and I believe the other one is from Pfizer, that they started with these injections in India. And now the amount of people that are becoming sick and dying from COVID and from the COVID shots, I think, are through the roof. I just pulled it up on the computer here today, and it says India sees a new world record for rise in daily cases for the fifth consecutive day in a row. They've got their crematoriums running 24/7, and they can't keep up with the number of deaths. And people have sent me some really creepy looking videos of people just walking down the street and literally on a motorcycle falling over dead, or in a car falling over dead. And so, which makes me wonder, number one, what I've seen so far of the ingredients in the shot, again, just like the Pfizer shot, the Moderna shot, and the J&J shot here in the US, there's ingredients in them that have never been injected into human beings before. People in India have a different type, they have different genetics, they have different food, they have different levels of cleanliness or lack of cleanliness. And they estimated they've already injected 100 million people with these shots. And now we're 4 weeks into it, which is where the first development of antibodies happen. And it looks like with these people who are dropping over dead, they almost look like cardiac events, because it's not like they fall to the ground and have a seizure. I mean, they just literally fall over dead. And so they're trying to figure out what all of this stuff is all about. I'm wondering again, which is some of the things that we've spoken about, are these shots that are being injected into these people somehow being subjected or responsive to 5G? You know, 5G at something like 90 megahertz can be used as a military grade weapon and for crowd control. A lot of these 5G towers are putting out 300 gigahertz. And so, you know, there's this massive genocidal thing that's happening all across the world. And you know, I wish that I could say something really upbeat and promising. And yes, we got a solution and it's right on the way to all of your listeners. But right now we don't. And we're working really hard. I know there's a lot of people working on it, a lot of people very concerned about it. But as of yet, there's no magic bullet.
Well, it's sounding to me like this is one of these things where, as you are pushing for a cure, or at least the therapies to stop or reverse this problem, as a lot of this is coming down to consumer decisions and lifestyle decisions by patriots and those that are trying to keep themselves safe.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, what I see there is, even though we have 5G in our neighborhood, I think in many neighborhoods, I think this becomes to a citizen movement to get it removed. I think that it comes down to rejecting this tendency to wanting to buy the latest new phone that's 5G capable. I think that it comes down to the health in which the way we eat, the supplements we take, and the exercise routine that we put in our bodies as fundamental basics. Because otherwise, if what I listen to, I think the first tendency is people want to say, well, you know, like, what do? Like, wrap myself in tinfoil and wrap walk around? We don't have much left.
Well, I agree that that's true. And I do believe it is a citizens' movement to create safe communities. You know, I did an interview yesterday with Renate Stahlhofer, and I know I made the introduction to you. She is from Australia with an organization called We Are Not Sam. And what I found so interesting about that interview, because the first thing I said to her, I said, who the heck is Sam? If you're not Sam, who's Sam? Well, Sam is actually this plastic dummy that's been used in the telecommunications industry for decades now, that it's a plastic dummy that they fill the head of this dummy with water. And if they take a cell phone and they put it up within 10 millimeters, it doesn't even have to be flat against the head, but within 10 millimeters of this head, this plastic head filled with water, and they leave it on for 6 minutes, if the water inside of the head did not heat up more than 1 degree centigrade, they called that cell phone safe. That's how all of these years that they have determined that cell phones are safe. And she made a really big deal about the fact in their community, they have kicked out all of the 5G, and this is how they did it. And they offer on their website, or, you know, you can get it through my podcast, there's a downloadable link. It's a 44-page document. It's really nicely done. It's a bit Australian-centric, but you can use the same content for how to kick out 5G out of your neighborhood. So it goes back to all the things that you've been talking on your podcast for months, Scott. It's about choice and accountability. It's about growing your own food. It's about making choices about cell phones. I asked her yesterday about cell phones. I said, did you have the same radiation problems with, say, Androids or Google phones or something other than that? She said, I don't know. You'll have to test them, but you can get some of the older phones. She said, they're planning to roll out 490 million i12 iPhones that can handle the 5G and the 6G, which puts it literally in your hand, which goes literally into your body. If you've been injected with any of these kill shots, it's going to absolutely activate you. And so I do believe that there are boots on the ground things. I mean, everything that you've been talking about with county by county and bringing it back to the local community and boots on the ground, nothing could be stronger than that position right now, more than ever, particularly now with this transmission thing going on.
Well, it is. I appreciate the endorsement on that. And it is definitely a real issue. And we don't have a lot of options other than focusing on our local community. And I think that also gets down to even dealing with how we approach health. One of the biggest issues that we currently face right now is the entire medical establishment, which has proven itself to be, quite frankly, deceitful. They have led this fight on the injection, and whether they're doing this because they're behind and funded by pharmaceutical, whether they're just willfully ignorant, or because they just don't want to raise their head up because of fear for losing their license, nonetheless, they're all complicit in what is essentially a human genocide. What is your advice to people working locally and concerned about that relationship with their doctor, concerned about the hospital, whether it's safe, and trying to navigate this very difficult space, especially people who have relied on the medical community to mean their center point for health?
It's very challenging. We've talked about that a lot in our clinic, where my clinic is in Cleveland, Ohio. We've talked about it a lot because we've got the Cleveland Clinic, you know, one of the major behemoths right up the street with us, 15 minutes down the road. We've got University Hospital System, which kind of owns all the community, all the suburb-based hospitals. We've got Metro Health, which is kind of the other third arm that's there. And it's very difficult because people want to go in for just routine procedures, just elective procedures that they need to have done. And they are being required to get a COVID test. And if they don't get a COVID test, they have to stay in the ER forever. You are not allowed to go and see your doctor. The doctors are all doing telecommunication things now. And if you go into them, you have to wear a mask and you have to wear gloves and you have to sit 6 feet apart from your physician, and your physician doesn't even examine you anymore. It's, you know, I said from the beginning, Scott, we talked about this a long time ago. Actually, I probably talked about it several years ago. When the first trial balloon for mandatory shots went up in Argentina, when people were not allowed to renew their driver's license, renew their passport, unless they showed a completed adult vaccination record, I'm going to say that was maybe 7 years ago. And I remember just feeling a chill, kind of like, oh man, this is what's coming. This is the first trial balloon. And I started to warn people, or tried to warn people then, that this is going to come, that it's going to be very difficult for them to make it in the US mandatory. Even a big business, you know, the government says they're not going to make it mandatory, but they're going to shift that over to industry, and they're going to force industry to make it mandatory. So the government can say, see, we didn't make it mandatory, but your boss is going to make it mandatory in your company. And I said, this is what I perceive coming. And that years ago, you won't be able to renew your driver's license, your passport. You won't be able to access your health care. You won't be able to go into grocery stores. You won't be able to have food delivered to your house, because unless you can show that you've been vaccinated/injected. And we're seeing those manifestations roll out now. So it becomes very difficult, very challenging. And so I think that a lot of it is boots on the ground activism, finding your tribe, who are like-minded like you, getting together in their living rooms, literally in people's living rooms, and formulating a plan on how you're going to navigate this going forward. I mean, this isn't going away anytime soon. I mean, it's just not. And people keep thinking, oh, if I just get this shot, I'll go back to normal. No, you won't. Or, oh, if I just wear the mask when I get on an airplane, it'll be okay. No, it's not. Because now they're developing high-tech masks for you to wear them all the time that can sense your oxygen level, your carbon dioxide level, can tell you when it's time for your mask to be washed. It'll be connected to your smartphone, so it will tell you if you left your house without taking your mask with you. This is a problem that's here to stay for a while. So coming up with boots on the ground solution is the best thing. Navigating around the conventional healthcare system, I think that I've said for decades, Scott, that the healthcare system as we know it, it's like it's like hanging over the edge of the cliff, and somebody needs to give it a good swift mule kick and kick it off the cliff, let it crash to the ground, pick up the few pieces out of it that have some value, and create an entirely new system. And I do think that there are some elements of that starting to happen. The problem is that the train is moving fast and is far enough down the track in front of us that we're constantly playing catch up. I don't think it's impossible. And again, you know, when God in the middle of it and are putting our focus on what God is trying to do in our communities and in our personal lives, that's the most important element. Like, people will ask me when I'm traveling, now that you know about this transmission stuff, what are you doing? Are you afraid? No, I'm not afraid. I put my health in God's hands. I do appropriate things, like I take ivermectin, I take vitamins, I do, you know, things like that. But I'm not going to live in a fear-based place. And I think that that's the most encouraging message that we can give to everyone, is not to live in a fear-based place, not to buy into the mainstream medical fear or into the alternative medical fear about, oh, what about these tests? What about this? What about? Stop. Turn off the noise. Get grounded. Put your head in the Word of God. Know who you are. Find your like-minded community around you and build where you are.
I couldn't agree more. Let me ask you something. This is, we look at all the things that we've said. And when I talked to Dr. Carrie Madej, her comment was that there has never been a strain of COVID captured to even or in any sort of lab that they can use to build this, quote, vaccine, this injection off of. And so they're building these CRISPR technology-based mRNA strains to go after something that doesn't exist. So this is the question. What is COVID?
Well, more the more accurate question is, what is SARS-CoV-2? Because COVID is really just a collection of symptoms that you get when you get an infection. So the appropriate question is, what is SARS-CoV-2? What are coronaviruses? What are influenza viruses? What are any of these things? I personally stand in a place where I understand that this has been genetically modified. It has to be. I mean, when you've got Moderna and the NIH arguing over patent rights, you know that they modified something. They modified the spike protein. They modified areas on this genetic strip of something. And I do believe that there are two schools of discussion right now. Is there really a SARS-CoV-2 virus? Are there any viruses at all? I mean, do viruses really not even exist? Versus mainstream virology. And when you read a lot of things, I mean, I've read a lot of virology texts, and they talk about genetic sequencing, and they talk about enzymes that have to do with these viruses and where they actually come from and what they actually induce. And we've got toll-like receptors in your body that actually are there to identify double-stranded and single-stranded RNA and DNA that gets injected. I think that it's a discussion that's really important. And I've said from the beginning, this is my personal opinion, and there's going to be a lot of people listening to this that are probably going to disagree with me, and that's okay. But it's my personal opinion, getting into the germ theory and trying to disrupt it and whether or not there's a real virus or it's something else, I'm not sure that the timing is right for that discussion. We know there's something. Whether it's a real virus, a fabricated virus, a CRISPR put together virus, there is something out there that's making people sick. And that something that's making people sick is now being transmitted. And it is something that they are putting in these shots and injecting into people. To me, the more pertinent discussion for today is, what do we do to keep ourselves healthy if we're exposed to this thing, whatever it is, the SARS-CoV-2 virus, whether it's made in a lab, released in a lab, generated from a CRISPR technology, what do we do to keep our immune system strong and healthy, to keep our toll-like receptors, our macrophages, our immune system healthy? And what do we do to not be injected with this mass destruction genetic thing? And how do we learn to function outside of society with all the rest of this noise going on? I don't think that we're going to solve anything by internal divisiveness. And I think that this discussion about, is there a virus or not a virus, I think, you know, and I've talked to Dr. Tom Cowan, and I've talked to Dr. Andy Kaufman for months, And they're just so convinced that it doesn't exist and no virus exists. And as soon as we put that to bed, we can stop the vaccine industry. I said, listen, I've spent over 20 years trying to get people just to read the package insert, what's coming through that needle into your body, and move the needle 2 inches. You know, is this discussion going to change anything? I think it's academic. I think it's important. I think that for another day, maybe we can figure that out. But it's just my personal opinion that what's more important is our internal health, the health of our communities, getting our spirituality right, and trying to navigate what they have released on the world right now. To me, that's a much more important discussion.
And I think that's a fair assessment. I'm not going to ask you to endorse what I'm going to say next, but I'm going to ask you to make a statement in a reference to some of this. I am a very strong position that the doctors and nurses that are part of this delivery of this bioweapon, who are pushing this, who are not taking the professional responsibility to openly acknowledge that it is a third period trial, it's still in its testing phases, that humanity is being used as guinea pigs, that this is using technology that is modifying the DNA and with consequences we haven't even determined yet, and that the effects are obvious, especially as we hear again and again the leaking out of hospitals, even locally where I live now, that there's rumors coming out that many more than is reported are dying from these injections. I have them in the personal responsibility that they are all complicit in one form or another towards a crime against humanity, and that in the end, there has to be an accountability, a criminal accountability for what they do. Now, that said, that's my position. What would you say to these doctors and nurses that are out here blindly following this path, whether it's because they've been bought off by pharmaceutical, whether they're worried about their license, whether they just have their head in the sand and are just moving forward because it's what they do? What would you say to them about what is going on here and to force them to, or cause them hopefully, to take a step back and reflect carefully on the next time they recommend that injection?
I couldn't agree with your statement more, Scott. In fact, I've said it for decades about pediatricians. I mean, I think you've heard me say you've heard me say, or I know other people have heard me say, we need to round them all up and shoot them at dawn, that humanity would be a better place without them. And I say that somewhat tongue in cheek, but the part that I really mean is to say humanity would be better without every single pediatrician on the planet that is a vaccinating pediatrician. The non-vaccinating pediatricians, or perhaps the specialty pediatricians that take care of pediatric diabetes or pediatric seizure disorders or something like that, yeah, we could use a few of those. But for the most part, well, baby checks are just an opportunity to vaccinate. And now they hound mothers and fathers when they just give birth to a newborn baby and hound them to get a hepatitis B shot and a vitamin K shot and to set up their vaccination schedules before they even leave the hospital. I've said for a long time, there needs to be a big accountability for crime against humanity for this group of physicians who think they're doing something good by injecting foreign matter into infants and somehow believing that it's necessary. Well, ratchet it up to a whole new level on an experimental product that has no long-term studies, that all the animals died, that we are now the guinea pigs. And for physicians to not be aware of the VAERS data, the newest VAERS data, they release some new numbers almost every Friday. And the most recent VAERS numbers, and VAERS stands for the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, that has been around since the 1986 Injury Compensation Act. So they have collected data on injury compensation, or on injuries, since 1986. We know it's a voluntary system. It's an incomplete system. Somewhere between 1 in 10% of 1 in 10% of injuries are actually captured. But when you've got reported cases of 3,186 deaths from COVID shots as of April the 16th, 2021, and we started this nonsense in December. So January, February, March, April, in 4 months, we've got 3,186 reported deaths and more than 86,000 adverse events, which is the sum total, which is more deaths that have been reported since 1986 total deaths to the VAERS database, and more injuries than in the last several years of cases from all the sum total of shots. And for physicians to not know those numbers and to not, at least with those numbers, go, whoa, maybe there's a problem here. Maybe we should like slow down about this. I think they should be criminally indicted for crimes against humanity. I've said before, we need to re-crank up the Nuremberg trials. I mean, one of the primary physicians in the Nuremberg trials that was actually charged and found guilty and hung never did one single experiment against another human being. That particular physician, and I'm sorry, but the name eludes me right this second, he was just the overseer of the experiments. He never personally did any of the experiments, but because none of those people who were involved in the human experimentation were given fully informed consent, meaning the pros and the cons of this procedure, what the downsides could be, he was found guilty at the Nuremberg trial and hung at the end of the rope, like what you've said. I believe that all physicians who are pushing these things and saying, oh, well, you know, you over there, you have COPD and you have heart disease and you have autoimmune diseases and you have all these other things. You are the most vulnerable. Therefore, we need to give you first access to these experimental products. All of those physicians should be found guilty of crimes against humanity and perhaps even murder if any of those people died. I pull no punches on that. And I've said it loudly and broadly for a long period of time. Now, they're not, to my knowledge, being paid off by the pharmaceutical industry, at least most of them are not. But they are employees now of a big hospital system. Unlike me, who I have my own clinic, I'm my own boss, I have my own employees, we have our own. So I have a lot more latitude to say what's on my mind and stand on the science than the doctor down the street who sold his clinic to the Cleveland Clinic and now he's a W-2 wage earner, albeit a high wage, because they get high dollars for handing out pieces of paper for on a living that has a word written on them called a prescription, or for doing some sort of procedure. They get paid good six-figure incomes. I mean, we're talking, I have a person that I met recently who's kind of a youngish guy in a little tiny rural community outside of Cleveland, has a small office practice. He's a general internist, and he makes $400,000 a year. He doesn't even do procedures. That he's just an office-based physician. And so all of these guys and gals who are working for big hospitals, making big salaries, they have to do what they're told. And if the hospital system is saying, you vaccinate everybody that comes through the door, well, let me see, $400,000, vaccinate everybody that comes through the door. I have a house, a mortgage, a boat, my kids are in college. I guess I'll vaccinate everybody who comes through the door. And they blindly turn their eyes to the numbers of what I just said to you, or any of the mechanisms of injury that I've found, or any scientific literature that you try to send to them. I mean, Dr. Larry Pilevsky and I do a webinar every Thursday night called Critically Thinking with Dr. T and Dr. P. He lives in New York City. He's tried to approach innumerable conventional doctors with scientific literature that says, just look at this. Look at this one article. And they say, no, thank you. I'm not interested. He had a couple of people who did look at those articles, and they go, yeah, Larry, I don't know. That's only one or two articles. I think I know. Don't send me any more articles. I just have to keep doing what I'm doing. The love of money is the root of all evil. Spiritual, biblical is where I believe that these people are standing, and they're going to be held accountable before their Lord and Maker someday, particularly the doctors who call themselves Christians. I would not want to be in their shoes on their judgment day.
I'll be there pressing the elevator button. And you already know my feeling about that. And I'll be right there. Give them a tiny little bottle of water and a little cookie and say, good luck. Have a nice trip to hell. So
one way elevator down, right? One way down.
Absolutely. I have no problem doing it. Like I say on my podcast, I'll be in the one in the back going, hey, God, yeah. Can I take that position for a while? Because I'm going to love every bit of it. Kick their butt in that elevator. Here's your little tiny bottle of water. Here's your cookie. Nice seeing you. Glad I'm not you. See you in about 1,000 years. Enjoy. Bam. And down button it goes. Anyway. Dr. Tenpenny, where can people find recommendations a guideline, and I'm happy to work with you as well to put one out through our site, and I'm for health. And I'm saying this because I know the FTC is losing its mind lately about trying to shut people down about recommending certain avenues towards better health. So instead of saying this is a cure, which of course we know that everything you're going to recommend here has nothing to do with COVID. It's just about the whole principles of staying healthy and keeping your immune system strong in a stressful environment so that we qualify what we're about ready to say. Where can people find these recommendations and avenues to acquire the things that they need to improve the strength of their immune system?
Well, we have a pretty big section on our new website, which actually, as we speak, the new Dr. Tenpenny website is coming online. It should be up this afternoon. It's going to be really great because we'll be able to live stream through there and not have to be censored and shut down like we just got, kicked off of Instagram and our 137,000 followers over there got trashed, and we got kicked off of Facebook and our 375,000 followers over there got trashed. And so the new DrTenpenny.com site is going to have a store where you can, and it'll be all the things that we recommend and all the different things that we talk about with zinc and vitamin D and getting a vitamin D test, which is critically important, vitamin C, ivermectin, which I think is important. I do believe that hydroxychloroquine is important. And for anybody listening to this who knows me, I don't prescribe hydroxychloroquine. I recommend people to get their hydroxychloroquine through the frontline doctors' pages because it's very difficult for local physicians to write it. They have sort of a hand up and they work with different pharmacies to make that work. So hydroxychloroquine through the frontline doctors. We prescribe ivermectin, but that's only for Ohio-based people only. Anybody in Ohio, the FLCCC doctors, the frontline critical care doctors, they prescribe ivermectin nationally. It's just really important for you to do those things. I also feel like it's really important for people to really understand these mechanisms of injury, Scott. And I think that it's important for people to understand it, to be able to explain to people. And the more people that I get this information out to, maybe there's people out there listening to this that are scientists or they're other doctors or they're researchers. And once they really understand the mechanisms that our collective energy and our collective brain power can lead us down the path to those repair mechanisms or to those blocking mechanisms once they understand it. So because of that, we're doing a training on May the 8th that's for the 20 mechanisms of injury it's a 2-hour training that I'll go through each one of those mechanisms and explain it to people. They'll get a copy of the ebook. And for people who want more information about that, if you just go to drtenpenny.com, dr, no period, tenpenny.com, and look at the top where it says events, it'll take you to that place. Or if you're on our email list, you'll do it. Because the more people that really understand how these shots are harming people, like I said, if we've got a collective brain trust out there that we can put together to look for solutions, that'll be great. Because I'm probably one of the few people that spent close to 2,000 hours in the last 5 months pulling this out and putting it together. And so if I can spoon feed it into people's hands that can come up with something, that would be great. Also, you got to be able to explain it to people in a way that they can understand. So we'll drill it down into language that people can share it with other people. Because I do believe there's still a large sector of the population out there that's sort of riding the line. They're feeling lots of peer pressure from their boss, from their families, or all this stuff to get the shot. And there are probably a lot of followers amongst the people who listen to you that are like, oh, I don't want to get the shot. How can I defend myself? What can I say back to these people? And I think once they understand the mechanisms, that will give them some tools. That's an important tool that people are going to be able to put into their toolbox.
Yeah, if they get the shot on my show, I'm going to shame them. That's just my normal way. I'm so kind. Well, Dr. Tenpenny, it's a pleasure to have you on as always. If it's okay with you, I'd like to close with a prayer.
Absolutely.
Heavenly Father, we are truly blessed with the souls like Dr. Tenpenny and the many others that are on the front line of this fight, trying to discover the cure and to help cure and prevent this evil that's trying to take over our bodies and force us into a submission of a global tyranny. Lord, we pray for them. We pray that you'll give them sight. You'll pray that you'll give them insight and to bless them with the discoveries needed to open the many doors yet to be found, to find the cures and the ways forward, to not only prevent, but to heal those that have made the choice in a wrong path. Lord, we pray for all of these souls that are now struggling with the decisions that they've made, taking this injection that is literally changing the very nature of who we were born to be. And so we also pray for the protection of these great frontline doctors as they press forward to lead this fight in an army that we've never imagined. So thank you, Lord, for all you do and all you give and all the grace that you give us. May we stand in unity with all these efforts to literally save humanity. And we say these things in Christ's holy name. Amen.
Amen.
Any last words?
You know, it's the most important thing, what you keep talking about every day on your show, what I talk about in all the interviews that I do, is get your physical body in order, get healthy, get your physical house in order, get rid of what you really don't need, pare down, you know, to get to what you really need. And most importantly of all is have the right relationship with God through Jesus Christ. I mean, it at the end of the day, Scott, as you well know, it really, none of the rest of it matters. None of it matters. Our days were numbered before we even got here. We're either going to die of, you know, being run over by a bus or die of COVID, or hopefully being 95 years old and dying peacefully in our sleep in our bed at home. But it's all, the only thing that matters is where your soul's going to go after you're done with this circus that's happening out here on planet Earth.
Amen to that. Well, Dr. Tenpenny, our prayers are with you, and you continue to press forward in this fight. And please pass all of our prayers on to all the frontline doctors that you interact with. I'm blessed to have your friendship and blessed to get to know you in this fight. And so thank you very much for all that you do.
Thank you so much, Scott.
Well, Patriots, that was Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, one of America's great patriots. She will go down in history, in legend, as one of the frontline doctors and voices that has tried to save humanity. So I've noticed a lot of comments. People are asking a lot of questions about ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine. So I need to qualify what I'm going to say. I am not a doctor. I am not giving you medical advice. I am not suggesting that you do anything that I say. I'm simply going to give you an opinion based on what has happened with me. So ivermectin is considered by some of the frontline doctors to be what they call a prophylactic, which means it literally is protecting you against the whatever this thing is we're dealing with. HCQ has some side effects, and so it has not been as well considered as ivermectin. So ivermectin has been typically prescribed as a prophylactic every 2 weeks, meaning you take it every other week, right? And it's very specifically prescribed, and it's prescribed by your weight, and then it is, and then you can take it. Now, I would highly recommend that you go to drtenpenny.com, drtenpenny.com, and spend the time to research. I believe there's a lot of information on many of these things there, and you can learn. I saw somebody ask about how much do you take if you're pregnant. I have no idea. I wouldn't even begin to go down that road. That is a medical assessment, not me. Again, I'm not a doctor. Need to say that. Even if I wear a white coat, I'm not a doctor. Even if I play one on TV, I'm not a doctor. Just so we're clear about that. Okay. Now, HCQ, what I understand about HCQ, there have been some side effects. However, in the conversations I've had with Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, they are looking at HCQ as, again, as a possible additional measure to enhance your body's protection against this nonsense that we have floating around in our atmosphere, thanks to these evil dirtbags. And they are looking at it as another prophylactic, meaning another addition to that protection to your body. So that would be in the regimes that they're discussing, though I don't have anything firm on this. They are considering a one-week ivermectin pill, once in the week, by the way, not every day, just one pill in the week. So say on Monday you take ivermectin, the next Monday you would take HCQ, and the next Monday you would take ivermectin, and you would keep rotating like that. Now, I will say, in common sense, unrelated, of course, to any of this insanity that we're currently dealing with. And I'm sure this, what I'm about to tell you, would have no consequence directly on COVID, because we know that COVID kills everything it comes in contact with, causes debilitating disease, and is unsolvable unless you're Anthony Dirtbag Fauci injecting somebody with a genetically modifying device. But all that said, I would think, in my wisdom presented in life and by God, that if you were taking a good regime of quality vitamin D, and you were taking zinc, and you were taking vitamin C, and you were taking some vitamin B, and you might even consider taking some quality colloidal silver, something like that as a nose rinse. And then if you were doing, say, one of those breathing things, what do they call this? I'm trying to think, because I am doing it. I can't remember the name of it. It's one of these masks you put on to respirates into your nebulizer. There we go. Someone just put it up on the board. Thank you. And if you nebulize every other day with hydrogen peroxide, a 3% solution. Oh, I'm sorry. That was just my theory. I understand that 3% solution of hydroxy or of hydrogen peroxide with a drop of iodine. Just saying, is something that I managed to dream up one night. Just a dream I'm sharing with you, so they don't get the FTC crawling up our backside. I would say that mixture of those things, along with an exercise regime and some good healthy eating, is probably the way to keep yourself completely, completely healthy. Oh yeah, I forgot something else too. The hydrogen peroxide 3% in this theory, this concept, you might want to dilute that. So you might want to dilute that with some saline solution. And theory has it that it could be a little harsh on your lungs otherwise. So dilute that with some saline. So, you know, like I said, this is just a scuttlebutt around the fire, having some cookies and throwing your feet up and maybe making some s'mores. And someone says, hey, what are we having for dinner tonight? Like, I'm going to tell you a recipe. You know, that's exactly what I'm going to do. I'm going to tell you a recipe. So watch this. I'm going to give you a recipe. What's the recipe? I'm going to tell you a recipe that I'm going to do. I do every day, and some recipes I have every other day. But the recipe that I have every day is it's a special vitamin cookie, and that vitamin cookie has vitamin D in it and vitamin C in it, and it has some zinc in it, and it's got some vitamin B in it, and then when I get bored, I like snort a little bit of colloidal silver because I need to clean out my air passages so I can smell that cookie better, right? And, you know, so we've got a good little mix there. And then, you know, about 3 days a week to help wash that cookie down, I use a nebulizer to help get those crumbs out of my throat. And I nebulize with a mixture of 3% hydrogen peroxide and saline, which is about a 7 parts saline to 1 part hydrogen peroxide mix. Just a theory here. It's kind of my recipe, though. And with that, you put a drop of iodine, which is kind of like, you know, that's instead of vanilla, we put in iodine. Why not, right? So there you go. There's the recipe for health right there. Isn't that something? So just thought I'd share that with you. And then, you know, if you wanted to add like the sprinkles on top of the cupcake you just made, then what I would consider is probably seeing by getting some ivermectin properly prescribed and have that on a Monday. And then the following Monday, I change my sprinkles to something like HCQ. And then on the following Monday, I'd go back to a sprinkles of some ivermectin. I just think those are some good mixes of, that's some yummy power bars right there we just described. And that'll keep you so healthy, I'm telling you right now. You can probably even walk in front of those viral-shedding injected zombies and be okay if you wanted to. So anyway, just some thoughts. You can dream on that. Maybe you'll have the same dream I did. Who knows? I don't think you're going to be able to buy this down at Walmart either, by the way. You might have to shop around a little bit. But that's okay. Anyway, Patriots, we've got to share information as best we can. Got to keep each other back covered. This is a big fight. Keep our prayers up for sure. This is an ugly fight because this is a fight for the end. This is a fight for the destruction of humanity or the survival of humanity. And it is not a time to, we do jest and we need to laugh, but take this very seriously. This is a time not to play around with the health. These dirtbags want to make us all transhumanists. And like I said, and I have no problem saying this, and I know somebody was up there having a hard time with what I'm going to say, so I'm going to say it again just because I want to press the point. I don't care. I do not care whether these doctors are say they're Christian or not. I do not care. If they are doing this disastrous deed, and they are recommending injections to people that are modifying the DNA of people, I'm going to kick their butt in that elevator and press that damn button and send them a one-way trip to hell, because that's exactly where they deserve to be. There is no forgiveness on this part, as I'm concerned, because this is one of these things that it's wrong. Period. End of story. No discussion on that point. If someone has a moral conflict with it, well, so guess what? That's where we're at today. Because this is unbelievable what we're dealing with. We are dealing with people that are complicitly involved in administering something that is going to maim or kill people, potentially, and doing so because of a paycheck and because they don't want to dare challenge the system for the sake of their nice little comfy life. That is not being a doctor. You're just being a drone and a slave. And in that sense, you're just part of the new Nazi One World Order. So that's my opinion. If you like it, good. If you don't like it, well, have a nice evening. Anyway, keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bow to evil. Never relent. Always press into the fight. Now, here's the thing. We need to keep our prayers up. Seriously, we need lots of prayers for these frontline doctors. They have got it all on the line right now. They are fighting for us. They are doing everything they can to try to find cures. They are working around the clock. No one's paying them to do this. They're doing this because of the love of humanity and their disdain for their own industry that they're part of. They are amazing people. We're going to have more of them come here. So keep your prayers up for them. It's really important. Remember, God will never forsake us. He's always with us, but we have to do our work. This is faith and works right now. We got to give it feet. We got to keep in this fight. And in the end of the day, we will win with God, and God will win with us. It's a great thing. Have a blessed evening. I'll see you in about an hour. Until then, or in the next time, God bless, and out for now.
We shall pay any price, bear any burden, meet any hardship, support any friend, oppose any foe, to assure the survival and the success of liberty.
Every thoughtful citizen who despairs of war and wishes to bring peace should begin by looking inward, by examining his own attitude towards the possibilities of peace. Too many of us think it is impossible. Too many think it is unreal. But that is a dangerous, defeatist belief. It leads to the conclusion that war is inevitable, that mankind is doomed, that we are gripped by forces we cannot control. We need not accept that view. Our problems are man-made, therefore they can be solved by man, and man can be as big as he wants. No problem of human destiny is beyond human beings. Man's reason and spirit have often solved the seemingly unsolvable, and we believe they can do it again. Surely the opening vistas of space promise high costs and hardships, as well as high reward. So it is not surprising that some would have us stay where we are a little longer, to rest, to wait. But this city of Houston, this state of Texas, this country of the United States was not built by those who waited and rested and wished to look behind them. This country was conquered by those who moved forward. And so will space. We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other thing, not because they are easy, but because they are hard. Because that challenge is one that we're willing to accept.
The energy, the faith, the devotion which we bring to this endeavor will light our country and all who serve it. And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Has waited thousands of years to show its face. It has only one intent, to destroy God's light and to enslave. It has no scruples. It has no rules but one, to win at any cost. But we will never bow, for we are the remnant that will hold the line. This is war. We fight. We push, we climb, we never give in. We become the nightmare that evil didn't know could exist. We pray, we stand. We live by the words, "In God we trust." We fear nothing. We are the light that can never be extinguished. We are patriots. We are the digital army that will help deliver God's wrath.